Guys, welcome to the session today. We'll be getting underway in just a second, but just to make sure that I know everybody's tech is working and we're all here and ready to roll. A little bit of a poll. What do you like better? Do you like bacon and eggs or do you like steak sandwich? Chuck it up in the chat box. Let's see what's the better thing. B&E, Danielle, thank you. Brian, both? Yeah, cool. At the same time, maybe. Steak Sammy, Dave, yeah, totally. Ben Weifer, steak. Cool, mate. Kristen, steak Sammy. Bacon and eggs, Matt Bromson. Steve Kenny, yeah, good, mate. Bacon and eggs. Debbie, maybe steak sandwich or eggs without the bacon. Interesting. B&E, Dom, cool. Steak, Adrian, Tim. Yeah, steak Sanger with a lot. That's the one, mate. Good stuff. B&E, cheese, sriracha. Is that Alex? Hot sauce, eh? Ooh. Getting a bit spicy. Gotta be bacon and egg, Michelle. Cool. All right. Looks like everything's working. Guys, welcome to Marketing Moneyball. I've somehow changed slide again. Marketing Moneyball. Pop your hand up real quick or say me in the chat box if you've seen the movie Moneyball, starring Brad Pitt. It's about the Oakland A's baseball team. And pretty revolutionary idea that that a guy called Billy Bean had. It's actually based on a true story where rather than judging the merits of baseball players on gut feel or whether or not we think they're doing a good job, he started judging the merits of baseball players based on statistics. So are they actually producing the numbers to justify being a good selection? And he picked teams based that way and they actually did really well. So obviously these days that's the way that we roll. It's the way that everybody does it. I'm going to share my slides with you now, Rachel. Again, tech is letting me down a wee bit, but we should be good. Think that should be working now. Marketing Moneyball. So basically what we're doing today is we're going to take a similar approach to our marketing. So what we want to be looking at is what's actually performing based on statistics rather than what we think is performing based on gut feel. So what this does is it gives us a lot of optics into how our business is performing, and more importantly we can make really, really educated, informed decisions on what we do more of, what we do less of, and how we grow our business based on actual results. So if you're keen, if you're in, if this is something that you think will be very helpful, please write keen in the chat box and we'll jump straight into it. Keen, fantastic, awesome. Keen, Toby, yep, good man. Yeah, you should be keen. good stuff, guys, awesome. Keen, yeah, looks like we're in. So team, the very first thing when it comes to tracking marketing leads, seeing what's performing, is I actually just want to know what you're doing now. So in this case, maybe pop up in the chat box, what stats are you measuring in terms of your marketing? And what is your most well-performing marketing source? Is it Facebook? Is you getting most of your leads from the radio? Is it from the newspaper? Is it word of mouth? Is it referrals? What is your most high-performing source of leads right now? And are you tracking that? So Steve, Facebook, yeah, mate, are you tracking it? No, cool, we don't measure anything yet, Dylan. Google AdWords by far. Lynn, do you track that? Facebook, Jake, yeah, cool. Word of mouth, yeah, a lot of word of mouth. No, Lynn, don't track it, cool. Repeat business, Chris, yep. None, zero marketing, referrals only, no tracking, yep. Current customers, JP, yeah, cool. AdWords, biggest sources, word of mouth. Facebook and referrals, yes, tracking, good stuff, some people tracking. Taz, not probably marketing or tracking yet, in the process. Millie and Brad, Facebook and referrals about to kick into SEO. Cool. Newspaper, Dave, yeah, when the calls come in. I think Google Ads, Jen, not measuring. Cool. Facebook, word of mouth, repeat. Yeah, we're only starting to market, Damien, after 3 years. Yeah, because of word of mouth, obviously, but you're signing out with some local stuff, which is cool. Awesome, Sam, mean measuring, but stopped last year. How come? Not tricking present. Or was our online presence, website and location bans. Yeah, why'd you stop, Sam? Interesting. A little bit of measuring, Adrian. Cool, so some of us measuring, most of us not. And it sounds like we have a rough idea where our leads are coming from, but obviously a lot of them is word of mouth. So one big thing with word of mouth is it's not so much a strategy, right? Like, I mean, obviously word of mouth is very powerful. I reckon it's the most powerful way to get leads. Hard thing is I can't push a word of mouth button. There is a strategy you can put behind that, which is a referral strategy where basically I try to incentivize word of mouth getting out there. But hard to measure that because how do I know who's talking and how do I incentivize them to talk more? So what we're looking at today is how we can dig down into tracking how marketing's performing so that when we do different types of marketing, we can see whether or not it's working. And there's three big stats which we're going to talk about today. The first one is called CPL, which is cost per lead. So essentially what that is exactly what it says. It's how much money it costs us to get one lead. The next step we're going to look at is called CPA, or cost per acquisition. Sometimes you'll hear this get called CPS, cost per sale. I'm going to call it CPA today, cost per acquisition. And that's how much it costs us to actually get a sale. So first little point of distinction, this is different. Okay, getting a lead and getting a sale are two different things, okay, as we know. So those are two different stats we're going to look at. And then the third major stat we're going to look at is what is the average sale value from the leads that we're getting. So once we know those things, we can figure out how much it costs to get a lead, how much it costs to turn that lead into a sale, and how much money we make on average when that sale becomes true. What we're obviously looking for is, are we making more money down here at the sale end than we're spending up here to get the leads and the sales? If we're doing that, you are literally printing money, okay? So the problem that we deal with in this case is basically, if you don't have a handle on your marketing metrics, you're going to have a few key things that happen, which are not ideal. The first one is you're going to miss opportunities. So I'm curious, I wonder how much you're leaving on the table currently because you're actually not spending enough. For example, if I figure out that I can buy a $100 bill for $80, I'd buy as many as I could. When am I going to stop? Never. Because the profit I'm making buying $100 bills for $80 is going to keep feeding me buying more $100 bills for $80. So I'm literally going to buy them until all those 100 bills are gone. So for me, one big thing that comes up here is I've been hearing the question a lot lately. What should I spend on this type of marketing? How much is a normal amount to spend on that type of marketing? How much should I budget for marketing in general? For me, if you have a marketing budget, you're probably missing opportunities. Because the reality is, if you're doing marketing that works and $1 turns into $2 or more, if you're doing marketing that works where you're buying essentially that $100 bill for $80 and you put a budget on that, what you're saying is, yeah, I can buy a $100 bill for $80, but I've only got $800 today, so I'm going to buy eight and that's it. That's all I'm going to do. Crazy. Why wouldn't you just keep spending? In this case, there's a lot of money that you're probably missing out on because you actually don't spend enough in the first place to get enough sales to generate the money to pay for all that marketing. So, missed opportunity. And I also wonder how much money you've in the past, maybe still, poured into marketing that actually isn't working that well, when you could have taken that money and put it into marketing that was working, which would have paid off 10 times as much. So if I have one strategy that's turning $1 into $2 and another strategy that turns $1 into $100, why am I putting anything into that first strategy? Double down on the one that makes money, all right? Because like I say, you're printing money and you're printing more of it in that case. The other problem is that you're gonna have no facts to use. So making these kinds of decisions about what I should spend more on, where I should focus my marketing money, where I should actually look for growth in the business is gonna be a gut feel. There's that old saying that you can't manage what you don't measure and not to expect what you don't inspect. So in this case, we're gonna look at how you inspect these statistics so that way you can start to expect what money you can make when you invest in your marketing. I want just to hear a quick yep if in the past you've used any kind of ad agency, whether it was a Facebook agency, someone doing social media, whether it was somebody helping you with SEO, AdWords, anything like that. Yep, few yeps. Cool. Mark, Dom, Chris, Shane, fantastic. Couple raised hands, Adrian, fantastic. Just started AdWords, no. Paul, yep, cool. So a few people have. Hands up again, if you've had an agency before, and when you ask them how the ads are going, they say, yeah, really good. We're getting nice cheap leads, but you're not really sure what's happening because it doesn't seem like you're getting a bunch more jobs. Anybody experienced that? Millie and Brad, yes, cool. Yes, Chris, yeah, a few more raised hands. Cool, fantastic, awesome. So one thing I find really difficult is if you don't track this yourself, you're kind of at the mercy of the ad agency and their spin. All right. The amount of times that I've been told, hey, you're getting heaps and heaps of website traffic. And I'm like, cool, but there's no jobs. That's great. You know, they're going to tell you the stats that work for them. So, you know, you might have a Facebook agency which tells you, hey, we're doing really well. The ads are doing great. We've got heaps of likes, but no money. You might have heaps of clicks on your AdWords. Sweet, but no jobs. Or the jobs that you're getting are all tire kickers. You know, you get heaps of inquiries, but they don't turn into jobs. They're tire kickers, or they're not really looking for what you do. So maybe the ads aren't dialed in. But the hard thing is you're at the mercy of the stats that you're given because you don't measure it yourself. So what we're here today to do is learn how to do this. So the opportunity, if we do get a handle on our key marketing metrics, we have some opportunities. So the first one is we can get more work. Once we figure out what marketing is working, we can double down the spend there and just print more money. All right. So, you know, if we know what's working, we can double down, we can get more work. You also get a much better return on the money that you spent. So if I'm putting money into the top of my marketing machine, more money can be coming out the other end because I know what types of marketing are going to produce better profit. And so, you know, leads can be expensive. It's true, depending on what type of work you target as well, they can be really expensive. What we need to do is be able to make sure that those leads turn into dollars. Okay. And then our other opportunity is we can gain some control back. So in this case, you'll be in control of the machine that decides the fate of your business. Whether or not you can sustainably bring in enough work to keep busy now and facilitate growth is really all down to marketing. It really is the most important division in any business. So you'll want to know if it's working and you want to have control over that. End of the day, if we don't have leads and inquiries, we don't have sales. All right. Doesn't matter how they came, even if it's word of mouth. If you don't have leads and inquiries, you don't have sales. And if you don't have sales, you don't have any jobs to do. So you could be the best tradesperson in the whole wide world, deliver amazing quality. But if you deliver it to no one, you don't have a business. So this is really important, guys, and you want to have control of it. So who's pumped? Right, pumped into the chat box if you're keen. And let's get stuck into some key principles. And then what I want to do for the majority of today is I want to work through how to calculate this stuff, where to look, and we'll basically run it as a case study. So awesome, looks like people are pumped. Let's get some handle on our marketing. So five key principles today. The first one I want to look at is that honestly, there is no new fundamentals. So I love when people say, oh, we've figured out these new fundamental things we're going to do. Ad agencies seem to say this all the time. And I just want to tell you, there's no such thing as new fundamentals, all right? Clicks, likes, shares, follows, viral content, who cares, all right? Am I getting more jobs? Am I making more money? If I'm not, I could be the most followed guy in the whole wide world. I could be an Instagram influencer. Sweet, cool, I might get sent some free protein, but no jobs on the books, so who cares, all right? End of the day, there's no new fundamentals. All that counts is my marketing spend turning into dollars? Dave, there is no workbook today. We're just gonna do this old school, go on some paper. So take notes, and then what I'm gonna be doing is I'm just gonna share my iPad, and I just want you to scribble along with me. I'm kind of old school like that, hope you don't mind. So once upon a time, Facebook likes, for example, they were great. It was a new fundamental. The more likes I got, you know, I could hit this big whole audience for free. If I had 10,000 people that liked and followed my page, then when I posted something, 10,000 people saw it. So that didn't happen anymore. Now Facebook's algorithm only shows a small portion of my followers anyway. If I want more people to see it, even my own followers, I've got to pay Facebook to show them. So in the end of the day, you know, getting more likes is cool. Maybe give you a little bit of credibility if somebody sees your page, knows you're legit because you've got some people that follow you. But that's not really an audience, and it's not actually going to pay off all that much. So what I want to focus on today is how we look at the dollars coming out the other end. All the other fundamentals, honestly, don't worry about it. Next thing, I want you to be able to see the truth. So a lot of the time, some of the spin you might get fed is that we're getting a nice low CPL, cost per lead. But end of the day, what I'd rather have is a low CPA, or cost of acquisition. Because if I'm getting leads for super cheap, but they're still costing moonbeams to turn into sales, because most of those leads are tire kickers, who cares? Actually, there was just heaps of headache me having to sort through all the tire kickers. And furthermore, if I'm getting, you know, really, really expensive cost per acquisition, I might think, oh my God, it's costing me so much to get sales. Cost me $400 worth of marketing spend, you know, per sale. But if my sales are bathroom renovations for $20,000, then who cares? Who cares? $400 is dirt cheap. On the other hand, if I'm replacing a tap for that $400, then yeah, I'm not making money. So I want you to be able to see the truth, see the stats for what they really are. Don't let agencies or ourselves, for that matter, fool ourselves into focusing too much on whether leads are cheap or what the dollar figure is. It's more about how does that stack up against, you know, the actual money I make. So Toby, the only thing likes do is show that you're a reputable company, i.e. a page with 15 likes says you're a small company, and probably those 15 people are your mates and your family. 5,000 likes says you're a big and trusted company, but they mean nothing in converting people into science and clients and sales. So yeah, thanks Toby, that's spot on, mate. So in this case, guys, like I said, no new fundamentals. Are we making money? It's all I really care about, okay? Next one, I want you to take the time. Now, this can be a time-consuming process, all right? You know, you're gonna have to sit down, you have to crunch some numbers. In the past, I've talked about tracking conversions, tracking your marketing stats. And I have been met with some resistance, I'll be honest, or some people where they've said, oh, you know, it takes ages to do the whole thing. You're asking where they came from and stuff, but it really is time consuming. And I just want to know what's more important than creating a money printing machine. I don't know. For me, that seems like pretty valuable work. If I don't know where stuff came from, I can't track how it's working. If I can't track how it's working, how do I double down into the stuff that is working? And how do I stop doing the stuff that's not? It's important to track this stuff. It will take time. Does it have to be you to take the time? No. You can get anybody in the business to do this, all right? The cheaper the resource who's crunching the numbers, the better, all right? But you're going to want to have those numbers because the real gold is making decisions around what we do more of and less of and how we tweak our marketing based on the numbers we've got. So someone has to take the time there. Whether it's you or not, doesn't matter, but make sure that somebody does, okay? Very important. Trust the numbers. So the facts don't lie. We need to know the numbers in order to have something to trust, definitely. But don't take your eye off the ball, all right? Because results can change. So you don't want to hang on too long. You don't want to hang on too short. Some strategies do take time. You know, for example, lumpy mail. If you've sent out a lumpy mail campaign, most of the cost is at the start, all right? But the leads take time to come in. The sales take even longer to come in, and the lifetime value of the client you sign gets bigger and bigger and bigger the longer you work together. So if I spend thousands on getting a lumpy mail campaign all built up, made, sent out, then straight away I actually have no leads because it's not an instantaneous thing. So I have a huge spend for no leads, all right? Slowly some leads come in. If you're David Delore, 6 sales meetings come in like week one. From 6 out of 6. So a little bit of a shout out, mate. Well done with that. Obviously killer pack that you sent recently. But in this case, you know, let's say Dave Delore, whatever his spend is at the moment, it's gone to 6 leads and 6 sales presentations. It might be that all 6 of them don't turn into work now. And if they do, it might be 1 or 2 small jobs to just sort of kind of get your foot in the door. So the payoff from the amount that you spend is going to be okay. You know, maybe better. But the key is that by getting that foot in the door and building that relationship, Dave's going to get repeat work again and again and again through those clients, and they become clients for a long time. So the lifetime value of them is huge. And so right now here at the front end, it seems like it wasn't a huge return on investment, but in the long run, it was a bit of spend now for just endless payoff. So the thing is like facts do change. It's important to keep an eye on that. Other things, you know, for example, let's say you're doing an email marketing campaign. You might find that you get heaps of juice at the start. So, you know, lots of people are applying, your cost per lead's low, your cost per sale's low. But actually, as you go on, if you don't add people to that email list and you keep smashing the same list again and again and again and again and again, probably it becomes diminishing returns. So you start getting less leads for the amount of time that you spend on it. So keep an eye on the numbers, guys. They do change, all right? But in the end of the day, you need to trust those numbers. Don't hang on to something because you feel like it should work. If it's not working, it's not working. And if it is working, it doesn't matter if you don't really enjoy that strategy. If it's your most profitable one, I'd do more of it. So trust the numbers and yeah, go with that. And last one, guys, print money, all right? You literally have a license to print money here. So once you know what's working and you have marketing strategies that are profiting more than they cost, you are literally printing money. Literally, like this is the only legal way to print money unless you're a mint. So a marketing budget is a crazy idea, like I said earlier. If it's working, why would you cap it? You know, if I can buy those $100 bills for $80, why would I stop at $800 worth of $100 bills? All right. It'd be crazy. And if it's not working, why would I continue? All right, if I know I'm putting in a dollar and I'm only getting 50 cents out, and then I'm not printing money, I'm doing the opposite, I'm burning it. So stop now. Either way, the budget is irrelevant. All right, is it working, is it not? Now, marketing budgets can be good for testing ads at a small capacity just to see if they will work. But once you know it's gonna work, double down, you know, really get involved, fill your boots. Because if you are putting in less money than what comes out the other end, that's great. You would stop if you haven't got the staff to keep up the work. Yes, I was getting to this, mate. So Shane, good point. If you don't have the staff to keep up with the work, cool. You would think about stopping, right? Or would you? Because if you actually had so much work that it was literally coming out your ears, great time to put your prices up. It's called economic supply and demand. In this case, demand far outweighs supply, which actually justifies a price increase. So look, I mean, terrible job, terrible problem to have, you know, like I need to get more people on, like you say, Melia and Brad, build your team. That's the goal, right? We want to grow our business. So if we're getting plenty of good leads and they're all really good leads, they're all really qualified, what we can do is we now have an opportunity to build our business and hire. I know it's not as quick as just snap my fingers and build my team, especially for you, Shane. I know, you know, you're a pretty tough place that you live in order to find good tradesmen. But the reality is like, we build our team, and if we've got still a huge surplus of leads, it's when we can start to be really picky about what ones we work with, you know? So work with the ones that are the most profitable, work with the ones that are the least pain in the ass, work with the ones that really fit the skill set of you guys so you can maintain quality control without having to, you know, go around and double check everyone's work. But basically you get so much more power because you can always go on to the next one. So yeah, I mean, if you're really so amazing at marketing that you have five times as many leads as you could ever, ever deal with, they're all at amazing margin, they're all amazing to work for, they're all perfect, and you're hiring guys as fast as you can, but you still can't keep up, and then you're so good at marketing, you should shut down your business and start a marketing agency because you're probably better than everybody else. But in this case, guys, you know, I joke, but you know, it's not a bad problem to have. Should increase your margins, should grow your business if that happens. So I'm curious, before we dive into the practical, I want to know what's been most valuable for you so far, what's landing, what's not, and does anybody have any questions before we get into the how-to and start looking at some numbers? Chuck them up in the chat box, and we'll go from there. Tracking, Sam, yeah, so important. It's like with anything, you know, you can't manage what you don't measure. Got to measure, so important. CPA is what matters with marketing costs. Totally, Dave. Leads are cool, you know, sales are better, so definitely. If your marketing is working, Danielle, keep doing it. Don't worry about the budget, totally. Again, you're buying $100 bills for 80 bucks, keep buying them, all right? Natika said she's starting a marketing company. Fantastic, Natika, that's awesome. Tracking and spending more on marketing, Adrian, definitely. Damien, measure yourself. Don't just trust marketing agents. Yeah, totally, man, you need to know. Why would you put the future of your business in somebody else's hands when it's their job to tell you they're doing a good job or you stop paying them? It's crazy. Jen, double down on what works and cut out what doesn't. 100%, 100%. Why would we spend on something that's not working? Kirsty, trust the numbers, so important. Tracking's most important. Callum, yes, better to have low CPA than low CPL. Totally, Murray, yeah, totally. I don't wanna pay nothing for leads but pay moonbeams for sales. Yeah, unless those sales also turn into moonbeams times 10, all right? So that's very important. So guys, sounds like it's landing. So what I wanna do now is I wanna jump into a bit of a case study. Now, this is what I wanna spend a bit of time doing today. I'm gonna flick over to my iPad and literally I'm gonna go old school with this. So I'm just gonna write stuff as if I'm scribbling on a bit of paper. No worksheet or anything. I just want you to get a piece of paper out too. And yeah, let's crunch some numbers. So I've got a few examples here. And I want to talk about what's working and what's not, and we'll have a bit of a discussion. Is that cool? If it is, put your hand up. I think there's a little raise hand button. Cool. Fantastic. Awesome. And can just one person chuck in the chat box if they can see my iPad, just so I know that's working. Yep. Thanks, Toby. Fantastic. Awesome, guys. So this right here is my piece of paper. If you've got your piece of paper ready to go, that's cool. What I'd like you to do is write a few columns. So up the top, we're going to write the word spend. We're going to write number of leads. We're going to write number of sales. And we're going to write value of sales. And I'm just going to split my page up like so. Bang. And these are my headers up the top. So if you just start splitting up your page similarly to this, and once you've done it and you've got your four columns, I want you to write GTG or G2G, good to go, in the chat box so I know we're cooking with gas. Some raised hands, cool. GTGs, fantastic, awesome. All right, looks like we're getting there. So the first example I want to do, all right, we're going to work with just any old basic service job. So something that's nice and easy, just your basic kind of service work. That's going to be our example. And I want to say right now, let's pretend that we spent $200 on some kind of marketing source for this. So for example, let's say a Facebook ad campaign, where we're spending $200 on this ad at the moment. Okay, so write $200 right there in that column. Next thing, let's pretend that $200 has gone ahead and gotten us four leads. All right, so four people have called up off the back of that Facebook ad, or they've clicked learn more, or they've clicked inquire now, whatever it is. And we've got four inquiries, four leads from there. But let's say in this case, we so far have zero sales. None of them have actually turned into work, all right? And so therefore the value of sales for us so far is $0. So chuck up in the chat box, what is my current cost per lead? How much does it cost me per lead to get my four leads? If you don't remember, $50, perfect. Yeah, a few people get it, 50, yes, obviously $50. So if you're unaware of the calculation here, nice and easy, it's just my $200 spend divided by the four leads that I got, okay? So obviously in this case, is my marketing working? What do you think? No. Burning cash, no. Cool, no. Cool, fantastic. Now what I want to do here is I just want to have a quick look at, is it working? Because this is a very common phenomenon. We look at this after a $200 spend and we go, not working. I spent $200, I've got four leads, but no work. Interestingly though, what we might be doing is actually just not spending enough. Okay, so if we look at it this way, let's say that instead of spending, so my cost per lead is $50. All right, now in this case, let's pretend that instead of spending $200, I up that to $1,000. At that same $50 per lead, all right, so same cost per lead, same CPL, from $1,000, I've got 20 leads, okay? And let's say that from those 20 leads, I close four sales, all right? So I want you to write those figures in now. So first off, has there been any change to my CPL? No, still $50, right? So actually, as far as getting leads, it's performing just the same as it always was, okay? I just spent more. The difference is I actually got some sales here. So what I'd like you to work out now is what's my CPA, my cost per acquisition? So if I got four sales out of this, how much did it cost me per sale? 250, right? So if I write in my CPA here of $250, is that expensive for a sale? Yes or no? Pop in the chat box. No, Alex, no, yes, depend. Yeah, perfect. Depends, guys, totally depends. Depends on what I'm selling. Depends on what my average value per job is. So if I put it to you this way, let's say that, those jobs I got in, let's say that I actually had $4,000 worth of work in total. Then between the four jobs, my average sale was $1,000. And let's say that I did that at 40% GP, all right? Then I've made a gross profit of $400 gross profit per job that I won through this marketing campaign. So what I want you to think about here is, if I'm making $400 profit per job that I make through this marketing campaign, all right, and it's only costing me $250 to make 400, has this been a successful campaign? Yes. What should I do next? Yeah, spend more. So this is a very common trap, guys. Very, very common trap, okay? In this case, what we can often look at is we can look at a spend, and if we think about it in terms of dollars, what we can sometimes miss is the forest for the trees, because the dollar amount does not matter. It's whether or not that dollar amount turns into more dollars. And in this case, we're turning into actually a decent amount more dollars. And so the more we spend, the more we make. Now, if I had just kept it at 200 bucks and I never tried to do any more, the really hard thing is I would not have found that out. Okay, does that make sense so far? Give me a hands up if you're following me. Cool, hands going up. So next example I want to look at. All right, let's have another type of just service work. And let's say for this one, I also spent $200. So that's my spend, okay? So write that in your box. Next one is, let's say that $200 has gotten me 100 leads, all right? So this is really cooking, all right? I'm getting some good purchase here. So what's my cost per lead? What is my CPL over here? $2, yeah, totally. So if we pop that in here, my CPL is $2. Now let's say that of those 100 leads, 20 of them turned into a sale, all right? So I have a 20% conversion rate, pretty low. A lot of them were tire kickers. What's my CPA, my cost per acquisition? $10, that's right. So in this case, $10, is that a good cost per acquisition or a bad cost per acquisition? Cheap. Yeah. Good. Yeah, pretty good. Cheap as. Yeah. So guys, actually the true answer is it still depends. Okay. Because if I make $0 on average, then it still sucks. But reality is, I mean, come on, if you're getting $10 sales, I'm pretty sure you're gonna be making more than $10 per job. If you're not, we've got other problems, and we should go back and watch some of the other financials webinars around pricing. But in this case, if we're getting good GP on the jobs that we make and we're actually doing a job that's more than 10 bucks, then guys, $10 CPA is gonna be good. So if we look at things here, let's pretend that those 20 sales have gotten us a total of $10,000 worth of sales. So they've amounted to 10 grand. Now, again, some of them may have been more, some of them may have been less, but let's say that the total dollar figure is 10,000. If we divide 10,000 by the 20 over here, what is my average sale? My average sale value? 500. Is it? Yes, cool. So in this case, we got 500 bucks. So let's pop that over here. So my average sale is $500. Okay. And let's say that I average a 40% GP. So 40% of 500. What's the average GP I'm making on my jobs? $200, that's right. 200. So in this case, $10 turns into 200. Now, is this a good marketing strategy? Is this working for me? Yeah, totally. Fantastic. More important question. If I was going to double down on one of my marketing strategies, should I be doubling down on this one or on this one? Strategy one or strategy two? We'll call strategy one this green color, and we'll call strategy two orange. Green or orange, guys? Where are we doubling down? Orange, two. Yeah, fantastic. Exactly right. So the key is, are both strategies good? Yes. If I was going to take all my chips and go all in, which one's better? Well, the numbers don't lie. And that's why we have to track this stuff, guys. If you're not tracking it, then what you might have done in this case is been like, wow, strategy one, I got no sales and you never spent more. All right. And then when you spent more, you go, yeah, it's going okay. And on the other hand, you might be like, yeah, strategy two, you know, it's going okay as well. But what do I do more of? And the hard thing with that is that you got to understand that money and spending is not a democracy. All right. This is not a democratic agreement where I decide that I'm going to evenly spread my money against across my different strategies because I want to be fair to all of them and give them a proper go. No, it's not a democracy. It's a dictatorship. The person with the most power, the strategy with the most power is the one that gets the resources. And in this case, the one that crushes it the most is where you spend. All right. And you spend and you spend and you spend until it stops crushing it. And then you go to your next best, all right? If you have extra resources, cool. Pour them into a few different avenues, all right? Gives you some maybe a few different types of work, which is great. But end of the day, spreading things evenly for the sake of it would be crazy. We need to pick our winners and double down. So let's go to our next example. So in this case, let's say that I spent $5,000 on a marketing strategy here, which was going to be targeting bathroom renovations. Okay, so I've spent $5,000. And let's say that that has given me 15 leads. Okay, what's my cost per lead? My CPL. $333. Yep, so 5,000 divided by 15, 333 roughly. So $333 as a CPL. Is that a good spend? What do you think? Yeah, it depends, right? So let's throw in here that let's say that what I'm doing with this type of marketing, this marketing strategy, is to try and win bathroom renovations. All right, if I'm trying to win bathroom renovations and I'm paying $333 for a lead, what do you think? Good spin? Yeah, should be, right? Obviously there's still depending things, which is what we're gonna look at, but that's actually not too bad. On the other hand, if I'm targeting, you know, a basic kind of service job where I'm literally just gonna chuck a tap in for somebody or pop in a PowerPoint for somebody, I'm going to go around and I'm going to do, I don't know, only about $400 or $500 worth of work, regardless what you trade. If I'm paying $333 for the lead, I should start to worry. Okay. But next thing we can look at is, let's say that those 15 leads turns into 2 sales. What's my cost per acquisition? $2,500. That's right. So $2,500 per sale. Now, this is where we really know whether it was good. Okay. So $2,500 for a CPA on a bathroom reno. All right. If we then look at what that made us, let's say that between the two sales, we had a total of $36,000. And let's say that we did that at a 30% margin. Maybe you didn't make quite as high a margin as the other work doing a full bathroom reno. Cool. So what's 30% on an average sale of, because again, here, if we look at our 36 grand between two, that's an average sale of 18,000. And if we get that at 30%, what's 30% of 18,000? Show me the factoring and the spend to the final metric, e.g. $1,000 to make. Not quite, Pete. I'll show you why just quickly. 5,400. Yep, Amelia and Grace, that's right, 5,400. So if we look at this, $18,000, 30% of that, we got $5,400 as our average profit, average gross profit. And what we're looking at here is we're looking at, it costs us $2,500 to make almost $5,500. All right. Is this working out for me? What do you think, guys? We're doing more of this. It's okay. Yes, yes, yes. You don't believe, say Alex. Tell me more, why not? Yep, 50% investment. Alex, Luca, how come? Time taken to get their money. Interesting. Yep, but not as good as Orange. Does it depend on other overheads? Dom, massive GP percentage. Dave, yep. So the key with this, guys, is the short answer is yes, this is working out. So firstly, to your point, Alex, it does take time to get that money. So the reality is there might be more overhead going into this job than there are into others. But the reality is your overheads are overheads, okay? And in this case, how much more is really going in? Is it going to be $2,500 worth of overhead per time that you do a job? Because again, this is where what happens is actually we get economy of scale by just spending more. Because the reality is, if you do one bathroom, the amount of overhead that goes into winning that is X. But actually, the more bathrooms you do, the less overhead goes into it because you can start to get efficiencies from volume. So when you think about that, the real thing here is, end of the day, are we printing money? Yes. Are we making a good amount more than what we're spending to get that money? Yes. So can we make things more efficient on the fixed cost side? Yeah, totally. To be honest, if you're making $100 profit between your average GP and your average CPA, I'd be like, yeah, cool, it's probably not working out. But the reality is, guys, is that to actually get all of this, I mean, Alex, if you maybe just check down, what are some of the things that you think would take the most time? What are some of the things that would eat up the most of your fixed costs? And let's look at them one by one. If you'd like. If not, I can jump into it. So, hey, one of the things that's going to take a lot of time is there's a lot of follow-up. In this case, you would have a lot of time spending talking to the customer. Probably took longer to go through your sales process. Probably took longer to actually lock it in. There would be more calls. You know, for example, there's not just an inquiry and book a job. You probably had a triage call. You probably had a site visit. You probably had another follow-up call. You maybe had to provide some material. Maybe there's a company profile you gave them. You know, there's all those things come into it. But the reality is, again, if I'm doing this at volume, things like a company profile, it's not like I made one for one meeting. I made hundreds at once and saved there. If I've got that many sales calls and that many sales meetings to lock in that many bathrooms, I probably have somebody whose job is sales, or that's a big part of my job. And again, it's one overhead expense in terms of my wages, but the busier you keep me actually making sales, the more economical my wage is. On the other hand, if I make one sale every now and then because I don't have enough leads, because you didn't spend enough, then yeah, it becomes an uneconomical overhead. So again, like in this case, you're printing money. And the more of it you print, the cheaper it is to print again. Calvin, if you, what would you say is the cutoff for spend if it costs you 50% of your GP to win the job? Again, it depends for me. There's not so much a cutoff. Oh, wait, sorry, you're looking at the wrong way as an individual. So yeah, I'm talking volume. So in this case, Alex, the key is it's like whether we should do more. That's the question. You know, it's not about do I get one sale? You know, one sale is not a business. That's a, you sold something on Trade Me or Gumtree or whatever you use. In this case, guys, no, this is a business. Remember, you're continuing to do it. The whole question here is, do I do more of that strategy? So if I'm able to pick up a bathroom where I'm going to average $5,500 profit, all right, and it's going to cost me $2,500 to get that $5,500, then I'm got, you know, $2,500 per bathroom to cover fixed costs. So the more of them I do, the cheaper it is. So Calvin, again, what's the cutoff? You know, if it costs you 50% of your GP to win the job, hey, do you know the cutoff all depends to how often you do it? If I do it once, geez, you want to keep as much of it as you can. But if I do it again and again and again, it becomes more and more and more economical because the fixed costs are less. In this case, generally, if you want to kind of ballpark, fixed costs generally equate in most businesses to being somewhere in the realm of 17 to 25% of your turnover. All right. So if you were hitting a ratio where the average GP on the job, you know, when, once you take away also the marketing spend, if that was less than sort of 17%, you're probably getting into the danger zone. If it was less than 17% of your sale price. But in saying that again, with volume, that gets better too. And marketing spend is one of the fixed costs that makes up the 17 to 25% of your fixed costs. So that also comes into it. So short answer is there's not really a right or wrong. It's just all about, do I keep going? All right. In this case, if you're making easy money on it, yes, keep going, because it actually gets better and more profitable in terms of net. So should you just come up with a spend versus profit multiplier so you can easily rate which strategy is best? Yeah. One thing that comes into that, Graham, is whether or not it also is easy for you to do. So, I mean, let's say that, I mean, I know in this case, it's not, you know, you're not doing bathroom renos, Graham. But if you're looking at this here, Graham. By the way, if you're looking at this, like, if you're not doing bathrooms, for example, in this case, like, looking at this example, which one do I spend more on? Well, the reality is you might spend more on all of them if you were a plumber that's doing these different types of jobs. But it's how much do I spend the most on? Well, I would look at the ratios of what ones are making the most money, but also what's easiest for me to do. Like, if I made heaps of money doing bathrooms, but it wasn't my specialty and I sucked at it and all my guys hate it and I regularly get callbacks and stuff, well, then that actually plays a part too. So you don't just want to look at the money, all right? Because the money's going to be affected by other things too. Does that make sense? For your niche, this actually may be easier again, because you're going to have a more uniform average sale on different types of work. So it's just about what marketing channel is getting it the easiest for you. Does that make sense? Yeah. So for example, if you're doing a re-roof, and a re-roof, you know, is costing you $1,000 to get the job on one strategy and $200 to get the job on another strategy, which one are you going to do more of? So Chris, you're targeting commercial clients where you're completing a company profile. What other marketing channel could we use? So there's a couple you could do. Firstly, I would use a LinkedIn strategy. So with a lot of commercial clients, the key is, like, firstly, you want to talk to the right person. So in this case, if you're using LinkedIn, you can get in touch with the right person, the actual decision maker from whatever company you're trying to target. From there, you've got the opportunity to obviously want to try to build a relationship with this person, because that's really how you're going to get the work. So lumpy mail and a company profile are great strategies to actually try to, you know, get your foot in the door. And then actually a lot of it is going to be then spent on the sales meeting, your prospect nurture system, the follow-up process. You know, all of these things are what come into locking that down. If you then start pouring money into, like, a paid Facebook campaign, there's probably not going to hit your clientele. So the key is there's less strategies in this case, and what that changes to. So if you're more that type of marketing, you're more business to business. So maybe commercial clients, might be builders, it might be property managers, stratas, anything like that. If that's more you, then what I'd be looking at here is actually taking it a step further. So I was going to get to this in a sec, but we might as well talk about it now. What I'd be looking at in this case is I'd be looking at, how do I improve my statistics? So one thing to be looking at is what's the best performing strategy, but the next thing to be looking at is, how can I improve this strategy so that it becomes more economical? For example, if we take this one down here, and let's pretend it wasn't a bathroom renovation, all right? Let's say that this was, in fact, what I'll do is I'll do a brand new one for lumpy mail, because that's more this kind of strategy. And we'll break it down. In this case, if you did a lumpy mail strategy and you spent maybe $2,000 right up front at the start, printing company profiles, getting boxes together, there'll be a courier spend, all that kind of stuff. Maybe you spend more, maybe you spend less. I'll just say $2,000 for ease of maths. Right off the bat, you might get 5 leads, maybe. I don't know. So if I get 5 leads, that's a CPL of $400 per lead. All right. I might also get only one job out of that. Okay. And so the job that I get is currently costing me $2,000 CPA. The thing is with this is that the longer I do this and the more I tweak my prospect nurture strategy, the more I tweak my follow-up, and the more proactive I am with follow-ups and actually, you know, trying to get in touch with these people and nurture a relationship, 5 leads can turn into 10 leads off the same $2,000. And down the track even further, it can get as high as maybe, I don't know, 25 leads. So my CPL is actually getting better the whole time. All right. And from that, it also turns into more jobs. So one job turns into 2 jobs, or, you know, might turn into 2 clients. Like at the top, this might be one job. But down here, it's actually 2 clients that are giving you consistent work, all right? Because obviously you might go to foot in the door somewhere up here, but here you're starting to get consistent jobs, you know, repeat work through the same people. And down here, you might have 5 clients giving you consistent work, all right? So when you look at that, the ROI is going up and up and up. You know, over here, we're looking at $2,000 CPA for one job, But down here, we're looking at $1,000 CPA for a repeat client. So that's for the whole client, for the lifetime value of the client. So per job you do, that CPA drops and drops and drops and drops and drops. And when we get to five clients, it's $400 now that you're only paying per client, which again gets cheaper and cheaper and cheaper the more work you do for each one. And then also the value that we're getting goes up and up and up. So for example, that one job that I might've been given a crack at right at the start was $2,000 value at 30% GP. And so with that, you know, my average sale is $2,000 because it was just the one. And my GP on it was $600. So considering I spent $2,000 to get $600, it's a waste for now. All right. But if I then have two clients giving me consistent work, maybe lifetime value to date of these clients at this point is up to 40,000. And if that's at maybe 35% GP, because this was me getting my foot in the door and this is me charging real prices. All right. Now that we've built a relationship. And so in that case, it's 20K average sale per client for $7,000 profit per client. All right. And at that point, I've paid $1,000 for the client and I'm getting $7,000 per client. And then as we go on even further, at five clients, getting repeat work from each one, it might be up to $250,000 total value when I add up the total lifetime value of the clients to date. And if I'm doing that at 35%, then suddenly what I've got is an average sale per client of 50K at $17,500 profit per client, and I spent $400 to make 17 and a half grand. So the thing is, it improves and improves and improves and improves. And moreover, I can sweeten it even better. And this really is where you start making magic. So there's a little phrase which you hear from time to time called doing alchemy. So when you think about alchemy back in the day, that was people trying to turn base metals into gold. So trying to take something average and then be like, bang, it's gold now. Obviously a bit of mythical sort of stuff around that. But literally you can perform alchemy in your business here by being able to improve different parts of your process. So for example, let's say I go ahead and I'm like, hey, I spent $2,000 over here. And I was going to get 5 leads to 10 to 25, but let's say I really, really improve my lumpy mail. So let's say that at the start, it included a sales letter with not a whole lot of great copy in it. I just kind of whipped it up and sent it off. Yep. Okay, cool. I might have got 5 leads. But let's say I write a killer sales letter, follow the template we've got on the website. And let's say that I put something really cool and lumpy in there. It's a great package and I've put a lot of care into sending that out. Then, hey, maybe I don't get 5 leads to 10 to 25. You know, maybe I get 7 leads and maybe that's 15 leads and maybe that's 30. And then at that point, all of this improves. All right. And instead of one job, because I've now worked on my sales process, I'm following up harder, I'm being more proactive. I'm doing it from a recency standpoint where I'm making sure I call in time, making sure that I don't wait too long, making sure that I am really personable on the phone. I'm really working on sending some follow-up emails. I'm working on putting people into an automated prospect nurture system. So they continue to receive emails and contact from me, you know, for maybe a year after our initial meeting. And all that's automated. You know, I'm literally making sales for me while I sleep. And so instead of 1 to 5, you know, to 2 to 5, maybe I made 3 sales off the bat. All right. And maybe I ended up, instead of having 5 long-term clients, maybe I have 7. And maybe instead of 7 long-term, 20, you know, 5 long-term clients down the bottom, maybe I have 10. Then at that point, I've also slashed my CPAs. Not to mention, I've massively boosted up my lifetime values because it's between more people. And so at the same GP, all of these figures have gone up and all of these figures have gone down, and it's an even better equation. So to your point, Chris, in this case, probably what I'd be looking at is, rather than looking at a bunch of different strategies, it's about really refining the hell out of the one strategy so that you can do alchemy on your numbers. Hope that makes sense. Quickly, just want to go back to a point there from Pete Jolly. And I think what you said, mate, I'm just looking back through the comments, I couldn't see it, but I think what you were saying was, shouldn't we be tracking and looking at what our total spend is towards total dollars Yeah, we can, but it actually does. It actually does show us by just looking at each number. And probably the easier thing to look at is what's my CPA, CPA to average sale and GP ratio. So what's the ratio of my CPA to the average value of the sale at what GP percentage? Because that way I'm able to see what's the profit I'm making and how much did I have to spend to make that profit per sale. Okay, it can just be easier to look at. But you can do it either way. It just this way shows you which parts are working, which parts aren't. If we look back up here, right back up here at this example, where I spent $200 here and got 4 leads and no sales. Again, if I had a better sales process, maybe I made 2 sales there. All right. So the key is you can perform alchemy really anywhere in this process, and it's about what do we improve, but also which is the most performing strategy. So Pete, yeah, exactly your point, same mess. It is the same mess. This is just helping us to break down into which bits of it are working and which bits aren't. So the hard thing with this, and this is why I'm getting at the whole thing with your agencies, is agencies are usually gonna absolutely hammer this stat because their job is to get you leads, all right? So when they say to you, yeah, we're getting you heaps of leads, all right? You got 100 leads. At $2 per lead, this is really good. We're crushing it for you. But end of the day, if that turned into 0 sales, I don't care how many leads you got me. They're the wrong leads. All right, so that's really what we're looking at here. So I want to go through one more example, just because I think it's important. And that example, if we look at it, is going to be, let's say we spent $2,000 on radio ads. All right, so a lot of people do radio from time to time. Let's say that radio ads got us 20 leads. All right, let's say we got 2 sales. Firstly, what is my cost per lead? Pop it up in the chat box. $1,000, not quite, $100, that's right. Perfect, there we go. So my cost per lead's $100. What's my CPA, my cost per acquisition? $1,000. Cool, so $1,000 per job. And the thing is when you look at this, guys, and this is why I wanted to pick on radio ads real quick, is that this is a real, real common one for what I'd say mass marketing strategies. So most of the strategies we looked at up here, for example, paid Facebook ads, right up here at the top, you know, maybe a different paid Facebook ad campaign. We're looking at maybe, I don't know, some other type ad, maybe it's another paid Facebook ad for bathroom renos. We're looking at lumpy mail. All of these are what's called direct marketing. It's where I'm targeting a specific type of job for a specific type of customer. And I can be really specific about how I call that out. And always, always has a bigger payoff. When we look here, guys, something like radio is what I would call mass marketing. And so the thing with that is it's me putting my name out there and trying to get recognition. You can definitely call out offers, but generally you're just hitting a big wide market. For a pretty general purpose. And in this case, what you'll generally find is higher CPAs and higher CPLs. And the hard thing with that is that the jobs you might get coming in might still just be rats and mice stuff. So again, if we were then pulling, you know, bathroom reno out of that, that'd be great. But in this case, if we pulled a total of $800 worth of work at a 40% GP, then our average sale is $400. At a GP level of $160. So at that point, what we're doing is we're spending $1,000 to make $160. And what people would tell you if you were going through something like this is they'd say, yes, but we got huge brand awareness. So that's what you're paying for. And what I want to just make the point is brand awareness is not dollars. Okay. So just wanted to make that point. So going back through a few others, Jen, anyone have a good system out there, develop the software that allows you to run reports on how much you make off each customer source? I can ask the Facebook page. That would be great for the Facebook page, Jen. We can carry that on there. I'd like to know. Pete, how do we know where the lead came from? So this is a big part of your inquiry script. You just literally say, hey, have we worked together before? If not, hey, how did you hear of us? People are not always going to be super forthcoming, then, especially if you run a bunch of different types of Facebook ads. For example, you might have seen Profitable Trading. We run lots of Facebook ads. So someone might say, hey, I saw you on Facebook. To us, that we don't know which of the 10 things it came from. You can figure that out in Ads Manager. So again, it might take a bit of digging on your part, But I'll definitely be asking and I'll definitely be recording. So Jen made a point earlier, Fergus allows you to add a customer source on each job to track where the lead came from, and you can look at the report end of the month. However, big flaw is that you can't see the value of each customer, so there's no breakdown on how much you made on the sale. So I've actually made a spreadsheet for you guys. You might have seen it before. It's under marketing resources on the website. And it's called Track Your Marketing Spend. It's just a basic spreadsheet. I actually had a lot of help from Sarah Jameson. She does this really well. So Sarah, I'm not sure if you're on the call, mate. If you are, could you just write here? Maybe, maybe not. Well, I just wanted to point out, guys, that, hey, look, like I said, take the time. Oh, she's in Wanaka. That's right. She is. Yeah, she's on holiday. So, guys, take the time to put in perspective. Sarah and Aaron, they average heaps of jobs, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of jobs per month. And they literally track this on every job just in a spreadsheet. So it takes time, but it gives them the ammo they need to be able to really dial in their marketing and continue to get hundreds of jobs every month. So, you know, if we've got to ask a few questions and figure it out, hey, look, just do it casually. Ask people, just ask. If you can't figure out, maybe you dig a bit deeper. If you really can't figure it out, hey, it goes down as unknown. But the more info we can grab, the more, you know, the more we can be specific with what we're trying to achieve. So you can also see what ads your competitors have active. Yeah, using Facebook Ad Library. Yeah, totally, Mark. Good way to get some good inspiration, figure out what's going on. Toby made a point earlier, important to look at this part of the puzzle. I think you were talking about the nurture system there, Toby. Yeah, this then leads on to things like your client nurture system. You get that cranking, your client acquisition comes lower. So that's what we were talking about here, is that if I get a really good nurture system going on leads, then maybe they're not a sale now, but maybe they become a sale further down the track. And so our figures get better and better and better, which is great. Awesome. And I've just seen one more come through. Yeah, Toby, jargon not to be fooled by. All things marketing companies will try to fool you with, they mean nothing if no sales are coming in. So CPC is a big one. People will talk about cost per click. So clicks, CTR is click-through rates, reach, impressions, and cost per impression. Yeah, all of that, guys, doesn't matter. I'd be like, yeah, cool, how much money do we make? And that's all that matters, guys. No new fundamentals, eh? So last thing is that I want to do just before we wrap up is I just want to invite you guys. Obviously, we just did a bit of a case study. Hopefully, it all makes a bit more sense. I have told you where we put a little spreadsheet you can use if you start tracking your leads and figuring out where they came from. I would love you to start doing this. So I would invite you to start tracking your leads. And I would really like to know, if you can actually have a look, what's your most profitable lead source? You know, what kind of a cost per acquisition are you averaging? What kind of average sale on different types of marketing? If you figure that out, I'm going to start a thread on the Facebook group and let's get a bit of discussion going around it. I think it'd be really cool, really valuable to see, you know, what other people are doing and achieving. Kristen, yeah, brand awareness. Are you saying we shouldn't spend anything on this? Look, if brand awareness turns into jobs, yeah, cool. But how do you know it turns into jobs? The hard thing is, like I said, brand awareness, what does that look like to you? Is brand awareness likes? If brand awareness is likes and follows, sweet. Are you able to use that to turn into money? Maybe. But the thing is like I said, Facebook's algorithm, you're going to put up a post organically. If you don't boost that post, all your followers, your 2,000, 5,000 followers that you got on Facebook, they still don't see it. They still don't. You still actually have to pay to boost that post to show your own audience that already likes you. So, I mean, really, like if you think about brand awareness might be just trying to increase word of mouth marketing, really. Like, you know, you're trying to get people to talk about you more and have you top of mind. Another way to be top of mind is email them more often. Get them into your database. Email them more often so you are top of mind. I can't go a day without getting two emails from oneday.co.nz. So tell you what, they're always top of mind, even if it's, hey, bugger off one day. It's always top of mind. So, hey, look, maybe you email more often, then you'll still be top of mind. But it's not left to chance. It's not like spending heaps on a radio ad or a jingle with no offer. Yeah, sponsorship's cool. I would just try to make sure that, like, again, are you able to then try to generate work where you can be a bit more deliberate? Big one is a lot of the time people will want to get word of mouth marketing. Hey, look, a good way to generate more word of mouth is referrals. Can you ask for referrals? Can you incentivize referrals? Get people talking that way. Rather than spending thousands to get people to like and follow a page, when you could have spent those thousands on a paid Facebook ad with a good offer and a call to action, which turns into jobs now, rather than paying to do competitions to get a following that Facebook won't show your ads to unless you pay again. So, hey, look, it can work. Brand awareness can work. But I think the key is like, end of the day, the likelihood of Phil Smith Gasworks being a household name is not quite the same as when brand awareness gets done by something like Coca-Cola or Apple. And they're household names. They can do brand awareness all day. They don't even have to make offers because if I'm thirsty, good chance I go buy a Coke. But the reality is even if I absolutely love Phil Smith Electrical, I might still forget next time I need an electrical job done. It's just the way people are. So brand awareness is good. If I can get direct response marketing, it's better because it turns into jobs. Make sense? Awesome. So guys, I really would invite you to jump on the discussion I'm going to make on the group. I'd really love to know how your figures go, but if you're not already doing it, start tracking your figures, guys. If you have any questions about this, feel free to, free to fire them through or put them in the Facebook thread. But I'd just love to know, as we wrap up, what's been most valuable today for you? What have you picked up? What are the big takeaways? I'd love to know what's landing. Case study was awesome. Cool. Awesome. The how-to for the calcs. Yeah, great. No problem, Lynn. There's no worries. Need to get in and, yeah, get onto it fast. Totally, Chris. Yeah, this is just this money just sitting there waiting to grab. Need to look at tracking our leads. Lumpy mail breakdown. Direct action marketing. Total. Yeah, Ben Weaver, case study. 100%, mate. Track the numbers. Spend and make it based on numbers. Bugger Facebook. Yeah. Measure everything, Gary. Your Facebook's a business, eh, guys? So remember, they want you to pay regardless. Importance of knowing the facts, totally, Paul. We don't want gut feel. We want cold, hard facts. Spending to get clients versus jobs. Yeah, cool. And this is not a democracy spend where you just put everything everywhere. Totally, Kristen. You want to double down on stuff that works. Can't talk printing money. Love it, Alex. That's it, mate. Get stuck in. Print that money. Awesome, guys. Hey, I've had heaps and heaps of fun. Brand awareness is not dollar value. That's 100% it, Callum. If people are talking about me, I'm like, that's great. Talk about me, but... you know what? Don't just talk. Call me. There's a good old story I like about the guy playing a guitar with his guitar case open. And people are clapping. And he puts up a sign and says, don't clap, put money in the thing. All right. So that's what we want to do. Best marketing is checking leads and sales. Awesome, guys. And lastly, does anyone have any questions to finish off with? If you do, pop them in the chat box. Cool. Brand awareness dollars are often only giving you nice warm fuzzies and not sales. Yeah, 100%, Toby, 100%. Don't clap, give money. All right, Dave, thanks for all of your work. Yeah, you too, mate. And hey, another shout out to Dave Delore. Send his lumpy mail out. First six packs, he said he's got six sales meetings. How good, how good. This is before he even puts people into prospect nurture. Gary Hill, do you have an Excel spreadsheet to monitor this? Yeah, totally, mate. It's in the website. If you go to topics, marketing resources, then you'll find it there. It's called how to track your leads. Danielle, is lumpy mail something lots of PT members do? It's great for business to business work. So if you're targeting builders, property managers, real estate, all that kind of stuff. A lot of commercial clients, schools, cafes, all that kind of stuff. You know, is lumpy mail is great. If you're targeting residential work, yeah, not so much. You'd need to send a package to every house in town and my son don't need you. Did he use the PT letter? Hey, you'll have to ask Dave. Maybe he's put up a post actually saying that on the Facebook group. Maybe ask him there, Kristen, and then everyone can see. Gary, awesome. Thank you. No problem. Guys, this has been killer. Awesome hanging out. Can't wait to do it again.